الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأذريته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورجعت عظمته الأقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحقها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الفقر فخري وبه أفتخر على سائر الأنبياء. صلوات We were talking about the subject of ingredients of success, along with Sa'ada, and we discussed two of those things already in the previous speeches, and tonight I would like to talk a little bit about al-fakhru ila Allah, which means the concept of us realizing, we human beings realizing all the time that we stand in need of Allah. If a human being realizes all the time that he stands in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this helps us to secure our spiritual success. Fakhr, which is usually translated into English as poverty, has two usual meanings. One is al-fakhr in Allah, and the other one is al-fakhr in an-nas. That means being needy towards Allah or being needy towards the people. If a person is poor in the sense that he extends his hands towards the people, this is what Islam condemns. Islam does not support people begging on the streets. We have a comprehensive Islamic, Quranic, divine social justice system. If there is an Islamic government established, then like we talk about Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi
salam,
and his global government, inshaAllah, when it gets established, there will be no poor person remaining around. And because Islamic system itself ensures that all the needs of the people are respectfully fulfilled, and the class system, the financial class system, which is condemned in Islam to exist, will be eradicated by Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So the people, all the people will be almost on the same financial level. So when it comes to al-faqr ila al-nas, being needy towards the people, this is not what Islam supports. Islam does not support this idea. Islam does not ask anybody to stretch his hand towards the fellow human beings and start begging on the street. Islam asks us to live a life of dignity, honor, and izzat, and sharaf, and nobility. So this second meaning which is used, al-faqru ila al-nas, is condemned. It's not an Islamic way of leading the life. What we are talking tonight is al-faqru ila Allah, which is a matter of pride for us, because our beloved Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that al-faqru fakhri, need, that means the need towards Allah is a matter of pride for me. وَبِهِ أَفْتَخِرُ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, and it's through this that I feel proud over all the prophets. So Prophet, our beloved Prophet, is feeling proud over all the prophets of God, because his belief in the fact that he stands in need towards Allah all the times, so is the highest of all. Ihtimal, and probably this is one of the reasons. See, all of us stand in need of Allah. Every existence stands in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not everybody realizes this fact that we stand in need of Allah. If we realize this, our behaviors will change. Sometimes the humans become arrogant and they fail to realize that we are muhtaj. Ya ayyuha an-nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allahi wallahu huwal ghani. Oh, you the people, you are fuqara, you are needy towards Allah, and Allah is the only one who is rich. There is no one rich in the Islamic concept other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the al-ghani bi-zat, someone who is rich on his own, through his own self, without depending on anyone else or anything else. If we become relatively rich as compared to some other people around in the society, we are not ghani bi-zat, we are ghani bil-araz. We are dependent on Allah, needy towards Allah, relatively in a higher financial status as compared to some others in the society, and depending, our richness entirely depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously providing His extra blessings to us. So this is not called ghina bizzat. There is no ghani and rich in his own self other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-faqru rahatun, Prophet says in a hadith that al-faqru rahatun wal-ghina uqubatun. That means poverty is comfort. So if we feel ihtimalan the same meaning, that if we feel the need towards Allah all the time, this comforts a person. This is a matter of comfort for a person. That's the real rahat and comfort for a person, if he always feels the need towards Allah. وَالْغِنَا عُقُوبَةٌ. One of the possible meanings is what I said. وَالْغِنَا عُقُوبَةٌ, and richness is a punishment. Our scholars say it's a punishment because it entails the punishment. What comes after it is the punishment. Because what comes after richness is punishment, so rich is true to say that richness is a punishment. وَالْغِنَا عُقُوبَةٌ. And obviously we find that a ghani person is afraid in this world about protecting his wealth from the thieves and also from the government. Whereas he is sorrowful and mahzoon on the Day of Judgment about the accountability and hisab that he will be subjected to by Allah on the Day of Judgment about his richness, plus the uqubat and punishment in the hell if we don't fulfill the obligation. Because there's a limited piece of pie in this world. The resources in this dunya, financial or otherwise, are all limited. Everything of this material world is limited. And everything of the alam al-tajarrud, the metaphysical world, is unlimited, limitless. So whosoever grabs that chunk of financial resources ahead of others or more than the needs with him is going to play a significant role in the life of the rest of the humans in the society, positively or negatively. So that's where Islamic duty comes in, that we need to realize our responsibilities when we have more than our necessities. That's what Imam Ali, Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, مَا أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَتَمَنَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يُعْطَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا قُوتًا. That means there is not a single person among the earlier and later generations except that he would wish on the Day of Judgment, I wish I would not have been given more than my basic needs for survival. Everybody would wish that on the Day of Judgment. So Imam Ali al-Islam says that Al-Nasu Bisa Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
النَّاسُ رَجُلَانِ جَوَادٌ لَا يَجِدْ وَبَخِيلٌ لَا يُسْعِفْ. People are two. Jawad means a person who is generous. A generous person, a جَوَادٌ لَا يَجِدْ, but he doesn't have to give. Whereas the second category of people is the bakhilun la yus'if, a miser. That means a miser person who has, but he la yus'if, he's not ready to help others. So people are of two types: either a generous person who doesn't have and doesn't have to help out others, but he's generous. So generosity and being a miser, it doesn't depend on the amount of wealth you own. It depends on how much you are attached with your money. Isn't right? There are so many poor people who give much more percentage-wise than so many rich people when it comes to spending and doing the charity work. Isn't it right? So it proves that the giving away of the funds doesn't need a lot of funds with you. What it means is that you're not attached with your money. So, جَوَادٌ لَا يَجِدْ وَبَخِيلٌ لَا يُسْعِفْ. So this is how the two people, that's how the people are categorized into two. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look into the Holy Quran, Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَطْرُ لَا تَطْرُ لِلَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Allah is commanding His Messenger not to repel those people who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening. So, بِالْغَدَاوَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ لَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاوَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. So, a prophet has been commanded to hang around with masakeen, with fuqara, with poor people. The companions of the prophet were whom? People like Salman, people like Abu Dharr, penniless people like Abu Dharr and Salman and Bidad, and the big shots of Makkah, the mushrikeen and idol worshippers of Makkah, some of those people used to show up and say to the Prophet, you want us to become Muslims? So we end up sitting with these poor people who are hanging around with you? Is that what you want us? That means they are trying to say that these people don't belong to our financial status, and it's an insult for us to hang around with these people. And Allah has already commanded, Allah commanded the Prophet, لَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Don't repel those who call upon their Lord. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. They want the wajh of Allah, the face of Allah. And when Prophet asked about the reason why the poor people are beloved in the eyes of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back, the Hadith says, Allah replies back, that there are people who ask dunya from me, whereas there are some others who ask akhirat from me. But these beloved servants ask neither the dunya nor the akhirat from me. What they ask from me is Allah Himself. So these are the Ahlullah. That's what the hadith that I had once a while ago recited in your town somewhere, I remember, that the Prophet has said that ad-dunya haramun ala ahlil akhirah. Those of you who were present in those earlier majalis may remember this hadith, that ad-dunya, Prophet has said, ad-dunya haramun ala ahlil akhirah. Dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat. And Prophet said, "Wal akhiratu haramun ala ahli dunya." And akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya. Wahuma haramane ala ahli Allah. And those two, that is dunya and akhirat, both are haram on those who belong to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to take us to a place where we care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's about the love of Allah. This is about how much we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will feel the need towards Allah all the time. What we are discussing tonight. Al-Faqru ila Allah. So when Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam was walking in front of the house of this mu'min person called Bushr al-Hafi. Al-Hafi in Arabic means barefoot. Because he ran after the Imam, which we'll learn in a while when I will narrate you the whole narration. You will learn he ran behind the Imam barefooted without wearing the shoes. So that's why in the history we call this narrator, this person to be Bushr al-Hafi. Bushr the barefoot. So Imam Qadim was walking in front of his door of his house, and he heard the voice of singing coming from his house. Obviously, we all know that ghina is haram. You know, most of the music which is played, you know, especially in societies which do not share our value system, overwhelming music that is played is haram, which is mutrib, and it's haram to listen to the mutrib music by the fatwa of all the maraji. We respect all the maraji. May Allah protect all of them. So, music was coming from his house, mutrib music, which is haram. So, and this female servant or maid of his house comes out at the door to throw the garbage as Imam al-Qadim was walking by. And he asked this woman, the maid of Bushr al-Hafi, that is the owner of your, you know, is your owner a free person or a slave? And she replies back, you know, owner of the house, a free person or a slave. And she replies back, no, the owner is a free person. He's not a slave. And that's why Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam said, لَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا لَخَافَ مِنْ مَوْلَاهُ. If he was a slave, that means slave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have been afraid from his Mawla and Master, which is obviously Allah. And this conversation took place between Imam Qadim alayhi salam and this female servant, and obviously it took a few minutes or moments, and then she delayed returning back inside the house. When she returns back inside, Bushr al-Hafi was there, busy in the songs, and he inquired from his maid that why did she delay? And she told that there was a person passing by in the street. And he asked this question to me, that is the owner of the house a free person or a slave? And I replied back, no, the owner is a free person, he's not a slave. And then he said, if he was a slave, he would have feared his Mawla, his master. This statement of Imam Qadim al-Islam has such a tremendous impact on his heart. Obviously, the statements of Ahlul Bayt are always like this, because they have the taharat of the qalb. The hadith says, إِنَّ الْكَلَامَ إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ دَخَلَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. If a statement comes out of the soul, it penetrates inside the soul. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْلِسَانِ. If it comes out of the tongue, لَمْ يَتَجَاوَزِ الْآذَانِ. It does not penetrate farther than the ears. So obviously this is because they practice completely and fully. So Imam Qasim al-Islam's statements were so effective on Bushra al-Hafi that he was moved. He was totally moved, and he just quit what he was doing and he ran immediately to find out who was this person who said that statement. And he ran into the alley and he discovered it's the Imam of his time, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Qadim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we find that when he encountered with the Imam, he realized that's the Imam of my time, and he started to seek tawbah from Allah. He said to the Imam, is it the way that I can also do the tawbah and get rid of all these sins? And sometimes a human gets overcome by his desires. Isn't that right? So we end up doing the sins. So Imam al-Islam obviously encouraged him towards doing the tawbah. Tawbah of every person is accepted, unless and until if we do the shirk. If we do the tawbah in any stage of our life, this is the rahmat of Allah. So he did the tawbah completely and totally, and he went out of that. And then onwards, obviously in the history, he was called Bushr al-Hafi, Bushr the barefoot. Peace be upon him. So this is how we find that if we realize, if we are serious about reaching the tariqat and the batin of the ahkam of the sharia, just like Imam Ridha alayhi salam has said to Ma'ruf al-Karfi. Ma'ruf al-Karfi was born to Christian parents. And his Christian teachers were trying to teach him about Trinity, and he did not buy it. They were asking him to believe in Trinity, and he did not accept. And he replied back, there's only one Lord. And finally, he ran away from his Christian teachers, and he came into the presence of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. And Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam asked him to follow the tariqat of Ahlul Bayt. Follow the tariqat of Ahlul Bayt. Tariqat is the patin of the Sharia. The Sharia and the rulings of the Sharia and the do's and do not, that's the zahir and the apparent. And the batin means the hidden reality. So the batin and hidden reality of these rulings is the tariqat of Ahlul Bayt. That's what we call tariqat. So Imam al-Islam said to him that stick to the tariqat of Ahlul Bayt. In other words, so don't violate the laws of the Sharia. That's how you can reach the haqiqat. So the way of reaching the realities, when we talk about that everything has a reality behind it, just like the Holy Prophet when he went on Mi'raj. So the way of reaching towards the reality crosses through the Sharia. When Prophet went on Mi'raj, he found out that there are a bunch of people who have nice and tayyib and tahir and clean foods in front of them, but they are intentionally consuming trash and garbage. They have tayyib and tahir and clean foods in front of them, but they're not consuming it. Instead, they're eating garbage. And Prophet was told, these are those people of your ummah who have the opportunity to earn, to eat the halal, but they intentionally go for the haram food. So the batin of the haram food was shown to the Prophet. And that's why, you know, that's why we find that Prophet, because one of the reasons why a Prophet is impossible to get inclined towards the haram, because he's witnessing the haqiqat and reality of all the ahkam and rulings of the Sharia. You know, so we find that discovered those of the women who go out without hijab, hanging there with their hair. And Prophet was told, these are those women of your ummah which go out towards non-mahram people without the hijab. They were hanging with their hairs. And so many other haqa'iq, things of the reality that he was shown. So Prophet is unable, when he sees the realities 24/7, so he has the right to say what he said to his uncle, Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, that even if they put the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left, Prophet is still not ready to give up the propagation of Tawheed. Because he's witnessing the realities, isn't that right? One of the reasons is this. So we find that Bushra al-Hafi was totally changed when we have this love of Allah arriving in our heart, and we are shaken and we realize again that we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We are faqir to Allah, just like Abu Zar al-Ghaffari. Abu Zar al-Ghaffari was obviously financially also, he was a faqir person, but at the time of his death, when he was sent to exile by the ruler of his time, by the Khalifa of his time, he was sent to exile, and in the city of Ramza, in that town of Ramza, where he was about to die in the desert, he was just there with his daughter. There was nobody with him in the final moment except his daughter. And some people showed up and said that, do you have any complaint against something? He said, my complaint is against my own sins. And they said, what do you wish? Is there something that you want, something that you wish? He said, I wish the rahmat of my Lord. So what Abu Zar wishes is nothing but the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they said, do you need a tabib, a doctor? He said, tabib and doctor is the Rabbul Alameen. The Lord of the universe is actually the doctor. He is the one who provides the illnesses and the cures. And the tabib, the doctor, has made me ill. It's the doctor that has made me ill. So we find that as soon as the Malakul Maut showed up, the narration says, he welcomed the angel of death. Marhaba. He welcomed the angel of death by saying that, welcome him as a friend. Welcome to the friend that is a long time, long standing wish of Abu Dhar. Long time I have been waiting for you. And anybody who feels repenting after seeing the Malakul Maut can never succeed. This is the reason, because we are not faqir in Allah. Because we miss the concept of standing in need towards Allah all the time in our life. That's why we are missing that sa'adat. The sa'adat that we are talking about, the ingredients of success, that we feel the need towards Allah all the time. If we feel the need, that we are needy towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will relieve us from all these attachments. So we find that Abu Zar had said that anybody who becomes, who is not basically nadim after seeing the angel of death can never succeed. And I swear to the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout I was waiting for this time to arrive. Just because Abu Zar is faqir in Allah, he's waiting toward, he's needy towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when somebody asks Abu Zar that ma lana la nuhibbu al-maut, or ma lana nakrahu al-maut, what's the reason that we dislike the death? A lot of people dislike death. Whereas the death was mahbub and beloved of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, because in their teachings we learn that they have been talking about the death all the time. Every now and then when some Shia, some mu'min person shows up in front of the Prophet, in front of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, they're talking about the death. Zikr and remembrance of death is sawab in Islam. Islam asks us to visit the graveyards, talk about the death. Prophet and Al-Bayt used to visit the graveyards and talk to the dead people, isn't that right? So we find that somebody asks Abu Zar, why do we hate death? And he replies back, لِأَنَّكُمْ أَمَّرْتُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَأَخْرَبْتُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because you people have constructed the dunya and destroyed the akhirat. In other words, you have constructed your dunya at the cost of destroying the akhirat. There's nothing wrong in living a respectful life in this dunya, you know. It's okay to make a house, to live here in a respectful way. That's not what Islam is prohibiting. What Islam is prohibiting is anything and everything that translates into attachment with the belongings of this world. You're not supposed to get attached. So, he said that لَأَنَّكُمْ عَبَّرْتُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَأَخْرَبْتُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because you people have constructed the dunya and destroyed the akhirat. فَتَخَافُونَ أَن تُنْقَلُوا بِالْعُمْرَانٍ إِلَى خَرَابٍ. So now you are afraid of getting transferred from a well-constructed area to a destroyed area, a rubble. So he said, okay, then what's the solution to the problem? What are we supposed to do for solving this situation? He said that don't do zulm towards the most beloved thing of yours. And this person said, well, how can it be? Can you find a person doing zulm and oppression towards his most beloved thing? He said, yeah, that's the case. That's how the people are doing. People are doing zulm towards the most beloved thing of theirs. He said, nafsuka أَحَبُّ الْأَنفُسِ إِلَيْكَ. That means your own self is the most beloved thing in your eyes towards you. You don't love anyone or anything more than your own self. Let's be fair. And it's such a logical statement that Abu Zar is giving. He's a student of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. And Imam Ali al-Islam is the narrator of this hadith from the Prophet. Imam Ali narrated this hadith that he has heard from the Holy Prophet saying, "Ma akallatil ghabra, ma akallatil ghabra, wala azallatil khadra ala zi lahjatin asdaq min Abi Dhar." The Prophet has said that the earth did not carry the weight of any person, nor did the sky put its shadow over any person more truth-telling than Abu Dhar. The narrator of this narration is Imam Ali himself. He is narrating it from the Prophet. So Abu Dhar has to say the truth. He is the most truth-telling person, as the Prophet has said. So Abu Dhar says that نَفْسُكَ أَحَبُّ الْأَنفُسِ إِلَيْكَ. Your own self. Yourself is the most beloved thing of yours. We love ourselves more than anyone or anything else. فَإِذَا أَنْتَ عَصَيْتَ اللَّهِ. When you do the sin, فَقَدْ أَسَأْتَ إِلَيْهَا. You actually misbehave towards your own self. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find that what is needed, brothers and sisters, is that a person realizes at all times that we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-faqru ila Allah. So, al-faqru rahatun wal-ghina uqubatun wal-zulmun nadamatun. And Prophet says that zulm is nadamat and repentance. Zalim on the Day of Judgment is going to be cutting his own hand with his own teeth. Zulm, obviously, in our Islamic tafsir, if you open up the books of tafsir, the scholars have defined zulm into three categories. Zulm is either towards your own self, or an oppression is towards Allah, or zulm can be towards other people. Zulm towards our own self means doing the sin. When we do the sin, we are actually oppressing our own self. Zulm towards Allah means doing kufr and shirk. And zulm towards the people means violating their rights, not fulfilling our obligations towards them. So any kind of zulm that a person has, the zalim is going to be cutting his own hand with his own teeth on the Day of Judgment. So zulm is a matter of repentance in the Da'amat. So it is narrated that this lady from Balkh, her son was very much oppressive. And they used to advise him to avoid those zulm and oppressions, but he didn't listen. So when the son passed away, she saw a dream. And she found that her son is tied up in all those aghlal and salasil. See, Quran talks about aghlal and salasil. There are chains tied up in the neck of the person and chains tied up in the hands and feet of the person. And she saw her son in that situation. And she screamed and woke up from her dream. Just because we don't see that situation, that's why our behaviors are such that we don't feel the need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't think these ulafa who are crying from the fear of Allah in the middle of the night? You know, my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amri hafizahullah was saying that you don't cry by reading the words. The words there is not what makes you cry like this. What makes you cry like this is the haqiqat and witnessing the reality. So the reason why Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam was sometimes when he was praying and he was repeating Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, because he was seeing the reality and that's why he was crying. Inshallah, in one of my upcoming speeches is on that subject. That these realities of the heaven and hellfire exist right now. Inshallah, in one of the speeches I will elaborate on that subject. This is a reality that these personalities have been witnessing with their eyes, and that causes them to cry like this. Otherwise, just a word-based information, you read some bookish information, is never going to make you cry like that. Unless you see and witness the realities with your eyes. So this is where Islam is trying to take us, to witness those realities. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find that al-zulm nadamatun, Prophet says, and zulm is nadamat, and wal ma'siyatu musibatun, and ma'siyat and sin is musibat, it's a calamity. Masiyat is a calamity, it's a musibat. If we look at the masiyat as musibat, if we look at the zulm in the form of repentance, our life will be transformed. We don't have that perspective of looking those things. These sound to be very simple things, but these are life-changing concepts. Life-changing concepts. Islam gives an Islamic worldview to ourselves. So we stand in need of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They don't stand in need of us. It's because of us. We need to realize that we stand in need of Allah. We are needy and faqir towards Allah and faqir towards the Prophet and faqir towards the Ahlul Bayt. Just like this person who used to visit Imam al-Sajjad every year from the far-lying city of Balkh in Afghanistan. If you remember that story, this shows how we feel that we stand in need. We are faqir towards the Ahlul Bayt. They are the madhar of the ism of Ghani of Allah, like they are the madhar and reflection of all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he used to visit Imam Sajjad al-Islam, the Imam of his time, every year from the city of Balkh in Afghanistan. And in those days, Afghanistan was, you know, part of the greater Khorasan area. And Islamic Empire included all those areas. So he used to visit all the way, it's very far-lying city. So coming all the way, you know, to Medina, to Imam Sajjad al-Islam used to live in Medina. And it's a very long trip. So visiting, coming for the ziyarat of the Imam of the time. Ziyarat, we already talked about last night, the concept of ziyarat, which is also significant in generating the very ma'rifat, which is the key to our success and sa'adat. And no ziyarat of any zahir is accepted except through the concept of ma'rifat. People talk about the ziyarat as well, but they must remember when you are talking about ziyarat, you also mention what the hadith says, arifan bihaqihi. Why do you ignore what is mentioned? Why do you incompletely inform the people? There are some people who incompletely tell the Islamic teachings to the people. There is a qaid, there is a shart, there is a condition mentioned in the hadith, arifan bi haqqihi, and you have the marifat of the haqq of the imam. Then your ziyarat is accepted. One ziyarat is enough for our success, spiritual sa'adat and success. All it takes is one ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or any other masoom. But then we need to have the marifat. Every ibadat has conditions, and ziyarat is no different from any other ibadat. And the condition for that is marifat of the Imam. So this moment used to come from the city of Balkh in Afghanistan of today for the ziyarat of the Imam of his time, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Every time he used to bring gift for the Imam. Every time when he was visiting, bringing a gift for the Imam. If we stand in deed, we are talking about the concept of faqr ila Allah and faqr ila Rasul and faqr ila al-a'imma. We are faqir and poor towards them. We need towards them. We are needy towards them. They don't stand in need of us. If we realize this, our life will be transformed. So, because there are people who think that if we start behaving well, we start doing the ibadat, it is as if we are favoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then if something happens, some test arrives in their life, they lose their job, for instance, their son becomes sick, for instance, they start complaining towards Allah. Oh my Lord, why me? I am the one who is giving so many charities. I pray 5 times a day. But you were praying 5 times a day, is it a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you were doing? That now you started to complain against Allah and starting bringing up those points? Was that a favor of Allah? You have to do it anyway for your own success. Allah doesn't stand in need of none of those. This has to be understood. If we understood that concept, that we are faqir towards Allah, we will never bring up those points in front of Allah. So, we find that he used to bring this mu'min from Balkh, visiting the Imam of his time, Imam Sajjad al-Islam, bringing gift for him every year. This time when he was leaving Balkh, his wife said to him, "You visit the Imam of your time every year and take gift for him. Did the Imam ever give any gift to you?" And he was very upset on that statement. He said, "You're not supposed to say like this. Imam is not supposed to give any gift to us. He's our Imam. He's our leader. We are supposed to take things and gifts for him. We stand in need of him." And obviously he left for the journey, and after that long journey when he visited the Imam, and he was there with the Imam, they ate food together. And after Imam Sajjad al-Islam ate the food, this woman obviously had brought the gift for the Imam, and what he did is that he picked up the water can and poured the water over the hands of the Imam to wash the hands. It is mustahab in Islam, recommended in Islam, that we wash our hands before starting the food, and it's recommended to wash the hands after ending the food. So he poured up the water can and started to pour over the Mubarak and blessed hands of the Imam to help him wash his hands, and the bowl was obviously there under the hands of the Imam, and he was pouring water with the barakat and mu'jiza and miracle of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. The water which was falling down by touching the hands of the Imam converted into juice instead of the water. So then the bowl.
Nare Hadari,
Nare Salawat,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And when he looked at that, it was full of juice instead of the water. And that's where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said to him, "When you return back, in other words, when you go back to your home, give this as a gift from me to your wife." He was very much embarrassed, that my wife should not have said that. But this is the command of the Imam, so he took it, he accepted it, and he took it all the way, this time when he went back all the way to Balkh, and he gave it, said, "See, the Imam has sent this gift for you." And this Mu'min lady also became very much, embarrassed that I shouldn't have said that for the Imam, because we are faqir towards Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. We are needy towards them. They are not needy towards us. We need them. So, Next year, when he was trying to go for the ziyarat of the Imam of his time, his wife said that this year I also want to go, so that I can also do the ziyarat of the Imam of my time. She went along with her husband and traveled all the distance. When they reached close to the city of Medina, just in the outskirts of the city, she died. And this person came alone to visit the Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and he requested the Imam that my wife was coming here for your ziyarat, and her intention was to do your ziyarat. And she was, you know, she came here all the way for that purpose. So is there a way that you can make her alive again? Look at the lutf and mercy of our Imams. How do they deal with lutf and mercy with their true followers? So we find the Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, you know, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after praying to Allah, he said that go and your wife is waiting for you, in other words, at the same place. He went there at the same place, and he discovered that his wife was alive, waiting for him alone there, and then he brought his wife back to the house of the Imam. The first time she had a look at the face of the Imam, she said, he was the person who said to the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, didn't Allah command you to obey the son of Fatima? Bring the soul back to this person.
Salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this is the obedience that the Malakul Maut, an angel of death, has towards the children of Fatima alayhi salam. What would be the level of obedience towards Hazrat Fatima herself? Inna Allah yaghdhibu li ghadab. Sahih al-Bukhari says, Inna Allah yaghdhibu li ghadab Fatima wa yarda li ridaha. Allah becomes angry over the ghadab and anger of Fatima, and Allah gets pleased over the pleasure of Fatima. So the Fatima alayhi salam is the madhar and reflection of the ghadab and pleasure of Allah Himself. This is her status. Then Imam Sahibul Zaman alayhi salam says about his great-grandmother that fi ibnati Rasulillah li uswatun hasana. And the daughter of who are we? Really, when you realize and you look at these kinds of ahadith, we find, where do we stand? I mean, how much we stand in need of these personalities? You know, how much we stand, how much we are faqir ila Allah and faqir ila Rasul and faqir ila Ahlul Bayt. We were really in the drowning darknesses of jahiliyyah and kufr and shirk or nifaq. If we did not believe in, did not, you know, have these personalities coming in our life to guide us. تَشْرَبُونَ الطَّرَقْ وَتَقْتَعُونَ الْقِنْتِ. Didn't Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in her khutbah in the darbar of the tabut of her time, that you people used to تَشْرَبُونَ الطَّرَقْ. Tarak in Arabic means the stagnant water. You people were drinking stagnant water. That means Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, Allah through us guided you how to drink the tahir and clean water. You have no sense of drinking even the clean water. You guys were consuming stagnant water in your times. And you were eating raw meat, raw skin. In other words, that's how they were. They didn't even know how to eat and drink. That's how we would be also if we did not turn to the hidayat and guidance of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. How much we stand in need of them? How far a person can avoid? So we find that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is the mother. What I was telling you was the hadith of Imam Sahibul Zaman alayhi salam. In the daughter of Rasulullah lies a role model for me. And Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam considers Hazrat Zahra to be a role model for him. Who are we?
Hazrat Zahra is a role model for him. Can anyone understand the highness of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's unthinkable. Unthinkable. كانت مفروضة الطاعة على جميع من خلق الله. Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, Hazrat Fatima, it was wajib, fariza to obey her. It was a fariza on the neck of everything that Allah created. All the existences, all the makhlukat, all the creatures of Allah were obliged to follow her.
من الأنبياء والملائكة من الوحش والطيور والأنبياء والملائكة. That's the Mazmoon riwayah. That means including the angels, the prophets, the birds, the animals, anything and everything that you can imagine is obedient and is obliged to obey Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. On the day of judgment when she would appear, the hadith says that there will be an announcer on behalf of Allah who will be announcing. We learn in the light of the hadith, an announcer will be announcing, نَكِّسُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى تَجُوزَ فَاطِمَا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. Lower your heads so that Fatima can cross.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we all stand in need of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam if we realize this need. And this need towards the Imam was forgotten. Which means the need towards Allah was forgotten. Whatever is our behavior towards the Imam of our time is the behavior towards Allah, because Imam represents Allah. That's why we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is now forced to leave his own watan towards the desert. Is that right? Because people don't feel the need that they stand in need of the Imam. Their lives are running well. They have their own jobs. They are, you know, they are making money. They are comfortable. So they don't feel the need of the Imam. As long as their lives are running well. So, Anas Abid al-Dunya, how Imam Hussain himself says, nothing can be better than what he has said. Anas Abid al-Dunya, people are the slaves of dunya. They are worshipping this temporary world. They are slaves of this world. يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ وَالْدِينُ لَعِقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. And religion is like lip service. They are paying a lip service. A lip service on their tongues. We are religious too, because I pray and fast once in a while. So that's it. That's what it takes, in my opinion, to be called religious. Although I may be giving a hard time to the Imam of my time, I don't even count the political. There are people who don't even count the social and political obligations to be part of Islam. And that's the reason the Tawhid rulers have been successful in their agendas and giving hard time to the Imams. Imams getting shaved and people were saving their lives. Because the social and political, our communities, generally speaking, some people of our communities never considered our 12 Imams to be their political leaders and Imams. They considered the Imams to be the religious leaders only. If they considered the Imams to be their political rulers, then Tawhid would not be leading and ruling over our Islamic communities. Instead, our Imams would have been successful in establishing the government of Islamic Quranic social justice, just like Imam Mehdi al-Azam is going to do tomorrow, would have been done yesterday if we supported our Imams. Our behavior is such that even the deputies of the Imam Sahib Zaman al-Islam, look at what happened. Look at what happened to Imam Ayatullah Ibn Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullah alayhi. How did the community behave towards him? Look at what happened to Imam Musa al-Sadr rahmatullah alayhi. We pray that he is alive. We don't know. So, look at how the people were behaving. How the people did towards our great personalities. We are not short of personalities and nice leaders who are guiding the Islamic Ummah. And I always say in my speeches that our own community did not turn its back towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So because we did not turn our backs towards the walayat of the Imam, we were never made mahroom and deprived of leaders. What we were mahroom and deprived was of the ita'at and obedience towards the leaders.
some other sects of Islam did not accept the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So they don't deserve to get any just and adil ruler. Their rulers are like Fahd, la'natullahi alayhi, and Husni Mubarak, la'natullahi alayhi, and those kind of evil, oppressive rulers who have no care at all for neither Islam nor patriotism. That's their leaders. That's their ulul amr. Our side of the story is different. We never turned our backs to the walayat of our Imam. We accepted the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So why would Allah deprive us from the leadership? We never turned our backs towards the leadership. We accepted it. But did we obey after accepting? Very few. We find in the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, only 12 people, 12 men. 6 were Muhajireen from the migrants of Makkah, 6 were Ansar from the helpers of Medina. Among the men inside the city of Medina, 12 men were sticking to the walayat of the Ghadir of Imam Ali alayhi salam. All the rest of the people inside the city of Medina, all the rest of the men deviated from the walayat and oath of allegiance that Prophet took at the occasion of Eid al-Ghadir. So they deserve to get leaders like Husni Mubarak. They deserve to get those kind of leaders. We never turned our backs to the walayat of Imam Ali. We accepted it. So we were not short of leaders. We had and still have, at least one mujtahid. Throughout the centuries, there were always at least one leading the community in social and political matters. But we did not obey the leaders. We gave them the hard time. And this is what is backfiring on, because we don't feel the need that we need to extend. Is that right? Worshipping our lifestyle. Annas abidu dunya wa dinu la'ikun ala ansiratihim. Religion is a lip service on their tongues. Yuhiduna bihi ma darrat ma'aishuhum. What a beautiful statement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Although all his statements are equally beautiful. So, we find that they are religious as long as their lifestyle continues smoothly. As soon as they find that something harm may come on their lifestyle, that's where you find there are very few religious people. فَإِذَا مُحْتَسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ قَلَّتْ تَيَّانُونَ. That's where the test is. It's all about how we behave in the time of test. Do we remember the Ahlul Bayt, the Imam of our time? Do we feel the need towards the Imam of our time in the time of tests or not? If we felt the need, then Imam Hussein would never be forced to leave his hometown of Medina towards the desert. Imam Hussein Islam is forced, because when Yazid died, la'natullahi alayh, and he was, Imam Hussein Islam was invited into the Darbar of Walid, the governor of Yazid in Medina, and he demanded to do the bayat. Asked Imam Hussein to give the oath of allegiance, to accept and endorse the government of Yazid. And Imam Hussein Islam, look at what he says. Look at what Imam Hussein says. He is the madhar of the name Al-Ghani, rich of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't stand in need of nobody. Everyone stands in need of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said, Ayyuhal Amir, inna ahlu bayt al-nubuwa. We are the household of prophethood, wa ma'din al-risala, and the mineral of messengership, wa mukhtalaf al-malaika. And we are the place where the angels arrive. Angels come on their soul. Wa mahfit al-wahi. That's in this household, the wahi and the revelation descends down, in other words. So, Yazid Rajulun Sharib al Khamar, he is a drinker. Qatil al Nafs al Muhtarama, he is the killer of the sacred life. Mu'adirun bil Fisk, that's why we say to our brothers that we are not supposed to do sins openly. We are not supposed to do sins anyway, but especially those of the people who are openly doing sins. Openly doing haram in front of the people. This is extremely condemned in Islam. This is not tolerable. مُؤْلِنًا بِالْفِسْقِ وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايَعُ مِثْلَهُ. And finally, when Imam is forced to leave the city of Medina, and 2nd of Muharram, which is tonight, that's where Imam Hussein al-Islam arrives in Karbala. This is how the people behave, because they don't feel the need towards the Imam. We find when he reaches the land of Karbala,
The land of Karbala is the land where when the prophets of God had arrived into this land, this is a land which has a lot of historic significance. When Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam reached this land, he fell down from the animal that he was riding. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded some of those prophets there about Imam Hussein al-Islam and his musibah and trouble and calamity that he's going to face. How much Imam Hussein is beloved in the eyes of Allah. Prophets were reminded by Allah. When Imam Ali al-Islam was going towards the battle of Siffin against Muawiyah, he was passing through Karbala. He did the wudu and prayed his two rakats of prayers. And he fell asleep. And that's where when he woke up, he says, he was crying. He said, I saw in the dream, my son Hussein was drowned in the river of blood. And he was calling for help and nobody's coming to help him. And then he turns towards his son Imam Hussein alayhi salam and advises him to have patience. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam replies that he's going to do the good sabr, sabrul jameel. That's the right way of Islam in doing the sabr. Which sabrul jameel is a sabr and patience where you have no complaint against Allah even in your heart for what Allah is doing towards you in your life. That kind of sabr and patience is called sabrul jameel, the appreciated patience. Imam Hussain Islam did the sabrul jameel, the appreciated kind of patience and resilience towards Allah. So we find Imam Ali Islam cried over his son. Anbiya, all the prophets of God cried over Imam Hussain Islam without exception. All the prophets of God cried over him. The angels of Allah cried over him. So this is something very, very special. And we find when Imam Hussein arrives in Karbala, finally he reaches and he inquires about the name of this place. And somebody comes up and said to Imam, this place is called Ghadiriyya. Somebody comes up and says to Imam Hussein, this place is called Qadisiyya. Imam asks, is there any other name? And someone comes forward and says, the name is Nainawa. Imam asks about, inquires about any other name. And someone comes forward and said, this place is also called Karbala. And that's where Imam Hussain al-Islam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-karb wal-bala. Oh my Lord, I seek your refuge from the karb and pain, and bala, the test. This is the place of Karb and Bala. And then Imam Hussein, and I said, obviously, there is no Bala and test like Imam Hussein. Remember the story where Imam Hussein was talking to his brother Imam Hassan alayhi salam and talked about, and he was crying. And Imam Hassan inquired about his reason for crying. And Imam Hussein described, you know, Imam Hassan said, I will be basically subjected to the poison. But la yawmaka yawmaka ya Aba Abdullah. There is no day like your day, O Aba Abdullah. There is no day that can be compared to the day of the Shahadat and the Sabr and the Musibat and Bala of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He has the highest level of the test. So we find that this is the place of Karb and Bala. And hahuna mahatto rehalina. This is the place where we will come down. Inzilu hahuna mahatto rehalina. This is the place where we will come down. Wa masfaku dima'ina. That means this is the place where our bloods will be shed. When I read that statement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, it reminds me that how Imam Hussain will be carrying his young baby, 6-month-old Eliezer, in front of the Ashqiya, hungry and thirsty, and demand for water in the same land. And those evil people are not even ready to provide water for this young baby. Ha Huna, this is the place, you know, the mahatto rihalina, wa masfaku dima'ina. Isn't that the same place where Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam will fall down? And Hazrat Zainab is going to make her reach the janazah, the body of Ali Akbar. This is how she's comforting her brother. She knows how much Imam Hussein loves Ali Akbar alayhi salam. Isn't that right?
The bloods of those 18 Bani Hashim, all of them who have no one parallel in the planet Earth towards them, all of them will become shaheed in the same land. When Imam Hussein says, this is the place of our graves. Obviously, this is the place where all of them will be buried. And that's where we find the ladies of Ahlul Haram started to cry after they heard the statement of Imam Hussein. Hazrat Umm Kulsum started to do her lutba. Ya wa Muhammada, wa Aliya, wa Akha. Then he started to do her lutba. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is the place where all the lovers will come to cry for you.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أيام كرب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين رسيم الولي الفقير قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراع المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين